This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. Hello, listeners. Matthew here again. And we've got a live show coming up on April 19th at 7:30 at Town Hall Seattle, as you know, and we need your help. The topic of that show is sack lunch. And if you have a story related to sack lunch, we would like to hear about it. We're looking for non-depressing stories. So if someone died in your story, maybe save that one for the confessional. If you've got a entertaining story, maybe something that went wrong with a sack lunch, maybe something weird you used to have in your sack lunch as a kid, send it to contact@spilledmilkpodcast.com, and you can do that whether or not you're going to be at the show, but if you are going to be at the show, let us know. Thanks. Now on with the show.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, I forget our tagline, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about shallots, and my mouth is literally on fire.
I am so... My mouth is so on fire, my lips feel kind of like they're fizzing.
I want to keep misusing the word literally throughout this episode to see if we can get people to write in to correct us.
Yeah. That literally used to be a problem I had.
correcting people for it or saying it yourself?
Saying it myself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this episode on shallots was suggested by listener Casey. Thank you, listener Casey, with a capital L. Do you have any shallot memory lane? Maybe of the time you were in that place.
I feel like shallots are kind of an esoteric thing for most American, like in the realm of American cooking, shallots are kind of like a fussy fiddly thing.
I want to see a movie called In the Realm of American Cooking.
I'm so articulate today. I should be a writer.
Yeah, literally.
I don't remember. I don't have a childhood memory of shallots. Okay. I remember using shallots for the first time myself when I was trying to make a lentil salad, sort of like this ubiquitous lentil salad of France, like little tiny green or black lentils with vinaigrette and shallots.
I think this was on the menu at the place where I had dinner last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a thing. Anyway, I was following a recipe, I think from Sever magazine. This was probably easily 15 years ago, and it called for raw shallots to just be stirred into these cooked lentils with the vinaigrette. And the aftertaste of that put me off shallots for a long time.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, you could say the same thing for onions or leeks or whatever.
Garlic. Ever heard of it?
Uh-huh.
We know my feelings on garlic, my terrible, terrible feelings.
I don't remember your terrible feelings on garlic.
Remember,
maybe
we did
I blocked them out.
I think you did because I mean,
I'll never forget your terrible feelings about egg salad, but garlic,
No, remember, we did a whole episode on garlic during which I admitted that I didn't like garlic very much.
That was probably just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
I'm actually holding a shallot in my hand and squeezing it like a stress ball as we talk.
It's the perfect size.
A shallot feels really good in your hand, more so than like a large onion or a little head of garlic. I think this is the most important thing about shallots that we're going to be covering today. Uh-huh. Like, you know, just squeeze them and you'll relax.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, I just thought of this, have you listened to The Splendid Table and heard Lynn Rosetto Casper say the word shallot?
Does she say shallot?
Shallot.
Oh, boy.
It's great. I love it.
I don't like
it. I didn't
that.
Mean it as a criticism. I'm into it.
I feel like that's one of those weird Frenchisms that isn't even like French people say it. They would say échalote.
Échalote.
Échalote. It
sounds like some kind of like mafia, like something you'd hear on The Sopranos.
Yeah, like it'd be like what you would call a little portly guy.
Shallot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about shallots. So how are they different from onions? They kind of look like small onions that have this beautiful kind of orangey, pinky, papery skin. And inside, they're this beautiful kind of pale lavender, pinky color. And they're usually like two sort of bulbs stuck together.
Yeah. I'm peeling one right now because I want to take a taste of it raw.
Ew, you do?
I do. I mean, not because I want to, like I'm looking forward to it, but
you
because...
You want to take a taste of it because you want to taste it for the next 3 days?
That's exactly it. And and my lovely wife also.
You want to taste her for the next 3 days? Zing!
Dangling participles. All right.
Dangling participles. Dingle dangle.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't done that.
Why did you do that, Matthew?
Well, because I had this idea that maybe shallots were like a Walla Walla onion, that is something mild enough to eat straight. But I think maybe...
No, they're not.
Can I posit a theory?
Yeah.
Can I posit? I'd like to make a posit.
Deposit.
oh, thank you.
Into my bank account.
I would like to make a deposit into your brain account, which is this. I think... In the onion family, there is a trade-off between how good an onion is for cooking and like how tolerable it is to eat raw.
Huh, that's a good
because
theory.
Like I think like the same compounds that make this shallot like make me wish like I had never ever sunk my teeth into this shallot because it's going to ruin my next 3 days is the same thing that you know perfumes the whole kitchen with this beautiful scent when you use a shallot in cooking and makes it like impossible to cook the flavor out even if you braise them forever.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that's a great point because something like a Walla Walla or a Vidalia onion, while delicious, has a more sort of one-dimensional kind of sweetness.
Yeah, and sort of disappears in cooking in a way that a strong vibrant funky yellow onion or shallot does not.
Wow. That is like one of the more thoughtful things you've said on the show in a long time, Matthew.
I think so. I'm pretty proud of that.
I like it. So let's get back to this. So
let's get back to bullshit.
Let's get back to talking complete and utter nonsense. So what is the difference between a shallot and an onion? I mean, they're both members of the Allium family.
Uh-huh. I bet they're, in fact, the same species, but I didn't look it up, so don't email me on that.
Great, okay.
I think that, they're different varieties of similar plants, certainly the same genus, if not the same species, and bred for different characteristics.
And I think of their flavor, once cooked, as being a little sweeter than an onion.
Yeah, I do too.
But a kind of complex sweetness.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, and like I wrote on this paper that we should try and describe it, but I don't think we're getting very far with that.
I think we're doing a terrible job.
Yeah, can I offer a bit of a rant?
Yeah,
which is shallots vary a lot in size, especially once you break them apart, there's usually like one big bulb and one small one, and like they're usually come in pairs, like two bulbs smooshed together inside a beautiful wrapping, and recipes usually call for like one shallot. Or, two shallots sliced. And I don't know if they mean like two halves or two whole ones. They vary in size a lot anyway. You know, at the very least, if we're not going to break out the scale like I'm always doing, could we at least like measure these things by like cup of sliced shallots?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely prefer the scale like you would, but I think that's a good rant.
thank you.
We do salad.
I'm really nailing it today, don't you think?
Sure.
First I had that cogent observation, then I had a fiery rant, as fiery as capsaicin residue that's coating my mouth, and next I'm going to do some gymnastics.
Great. We have a salad dressing recipe that we make at Delancey in the summertime for tomato salad, and it basically involves a lot of minced shallot.
Is that the Jersey salad?
No,
it's the other one.
This is just the tomato salad.
Okay.
Usually has feta with it and preserved Meyer lemon.
Yes.
You remember this?
You should name it after a state so I can remember what it's called. Maybe the West Virginia salad?
The dressing for this, the recipe is actually in my book, Delancey.
I've heard of it.
Perhaps you have. Anyway, you basically mince a lot of shallots and let them sit in red wine vinegar for a while before adding olive oil and some salt, a little pinch of sugar, and turning it into a dressing. So you're basically kind of pickling these shallots in red wine vinegar. And in that case, it's like not imperative whether you have the right size shallot or whatever.
Sure.
It's kind of... I don't know. Do you think there's ever a recipe that calls for shallots where you
I knew
really
you were gonna
need
say
to
this.
Know, Matthew?
No, I don't think there is.
I mean, do you like a little shallot or a lot of shallot doesn't make a huge difference,
unless
I think,
it's
unless
raw.
It's raw.
Yeah.
But I prefer never to eat a raw shallot unless it's going to be pickled.
I'm never
going to
do it again. I'm just a precision kind of guy.
You are.
I work on precision automobiles.
Let's talk about...
I saw Furious 7 last weekend.
Let's talk about
it was great.
What we do with shallots.
Okay. I put them into the gas tank of my car that runs on...
When would you use a shallot and not an onion?
Well, in this recipe that I made today,
ooh, yes,
for
let's
example,
talk about it. Let's tell everybody about the capsaicin residue in our mouths.
Okay, so this recipe is, it's descended from a Mark Bittman recipe from the New York Times, and it was originally braised duck with green beans, but I substituted Brussels sprouts because duck and Brussels sprouts go great together, and the green beans at the store look terrible. And it's braised with fish sauce and shallots, and a little brown sugar, and then when the duck is nice and tender, you throw in some Brussels sprouts in this case and just braise them until they're tender. And then I topped it with crispy shallots and some really, really spicy chilies and fish sauce.
Yeah, it's very Thai. It's unlike any other duck preparation I've had in that it feels really light and fresh.
Thank you. Oh, that would be the lime juice that I put in at the end and didn't mention on the show.
Oh, great. Okay. Hey, you also failed to mention all the shallots you cooked down into the dish.
I think I did say something about shallots. Oh, I don't know. But yes, I've at least a cup of shallots like I threw in there and sautéed a little.
Do you mean a cup of sliced shallots?
I mean two shallots. And that's all I'm saying.
Connected.
No, I'm not answering anything else. It's just two shallots.
Okay, great.
Take it or leave
it. And so we're going to put this on the old website.
Oh, yeah, we're going to put this very imprecise recipe on the old website.
Perfect.
Which is oldspilledmilkpodcast.old.
And when do you use shallots other than in this duck recipe?
Okay, so I will use shallots like in... We did a Thai salad recipe, and I think I made larb, that's great with shallots in it. Sometimes you see it with raw shallots. I would like let the shallots cook off a little bit in the dressing or saute a little bit, because we've determined that raw shallots are evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how to say this word. Is it duxelle?
Yeah, I've always said duxelle.
Duxelle.
Maybe I'm wrong.
This is a thing that I made often when Iris, my daughter, was a baby. Because,
my God, you are so precious.
Yeah, because...
Oh, my God.
Any street cred I had...
for your child. Oh, Matthew. God.
This does not mean I'm going to stop teasing you about France. Like... I have no pride whatsoever.
I'm never going to let you live this down.
No, like my on a scale like I'm killing it on like cogent observations, rants, and hypocrisy. Like
great.
10 out of 10 on all of those this week.
It's stuck the landing.
Okay, so you chop some like button mushrooms and cook them down with butter and shallots. Am I right?
I don't remember.
Okay, finely
mince them,
chopped.
Really.
Minced, yes.
Like as fine as you can go.
So that it looks pretty gross when you're done. Then like hit it with some cream. Maybe,
it almost looks
kind right?
of pasty almost.
Yeah, it looks like a gray paste, but it's delicious.
It's so delicious.
And I would make it, I would put it in an omelet.
Uh-huh.
And serve this to a baby.
It's so wonderful. It is so much better than the sum of its parts. Like
yeah.
this show, really. Like
if,
this
yeah,
show.
If you have a baby... Like, start shoveling in the duxelle.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hadn't thought of it in so long. You sent me a text recently describing it and saying, what's the name of that
stuff?
Right,
I couldn't remember what it was called.
I couldn't believe that I actually could still conjure the word duxelle.
Oh, I believe it.
I hadn't thought of it in like 10 years. Anyway, so there are a lot of vinaigrette recipes that call for a little bit of raw shallot. Do you put it in there?
Well, I generally, yes, but I'm thinking now I'm going to stop. You know what? You know what's really good?
If you put it in with the vinegar and let it kind of mellow a little bit, then you can keep going.
I've made a roasted shallot vinaigrette, like either literally roasted in the oven or actually like, you know, browned in a saute pan and stirred that into a vinaigrette. It's kind of like, you know, that's kind of the only thing you can taste at that point, but it's delicious. So that's fine.
And so like, why would you use a shallot instead of
what are you gonna say?
I was gonna say nobody puts raw onions in vinaigrette. You would never like mince or finely slice an onion and put that in vinaigrette unless you were making like a tomato salad or maybe some cucumber salads.
I think part of it is that the layers are so thin that it seems more delicate, but the flavor, you know, before I bit into this shallot and was ruined forever, I sort of had the idea that the flavor was more mild than an onion. It's not.
No. I think that they're just like small, cute onions.
Yeah, they're small, but they're, you know, it's all a scam because they're like, look, I'm a cute little shallot. I'm so mild and tender. Bite me.
One of my favorite uses for shallots is something that you did today, actually fried shallots on top of like a Vietnamese noodle salad or Thai dishes. Often they're on top of pad Thai, right?
At our local Malaysian walk-up counter, Kedai Makan, they put a lot of them into their fried rice, and it's fantastic.
Fried shallots are so wonderful. They're like... they're like French's fried onions, only much better.
And you can buy them like at a Thai or at an Asian grocery, but they're basically never good when you buy them. Mm-hmm. They're always kind of funky and stale. And they're really easy to make. So I just sliced a couple of shallots, maybe two shallots, pretty thin.
Great.
And I heated up, you know, maybe less than a cup of oil in a little saucepan, and heated up the oil and dropped the shallots in and cooked them for like 5 or 10 minutes until they were, you know, just the trickiest part is like pulling them at the right time.
They keep browning after you pull them.
Right. And also like they don't seem like they're browning for quite a while. And then suddenly you have to watch them very carefully as like the moisture has cooked out. Sort of like when you're toasting nuts. Have we toasted nuts on this show before?
No, we've never toasted nuts on this show.
We should, because I feel like toasting nuts is similar in that like it seems like nothing is happening for a while, and then suddenly, boom, they're blackened and destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like June says this thing whenever we're like in line somewhere, and she's frustrated, and I tell her that we have to wait. She goes, waiting. waiting. That's kind of what it's like.
That's how I felt. She's wise beyond her years.
Yeah. Anyway, fried,
you should get her an iPhone.
Fried shallots can really step up pretty much any dish.
Definitely. I'm now that I have these here, like I should have made more because I'm going to sprinkle them on whatever I make for dinner tonight, and I haven't even decided. I'm definitely going to sprinkle the rest of these on there. You can't have them.
Great. Okay.
And I'm talking to Molly, not the audience.
Oh, terrific. Okay. Let's see here. What else do we do with shallots? So I like to, a number of years ago, Brandon and I were visiting my mom, and my mom had a whole bunch. My mom is quite famous, at least for me. famous for... letting food go bad in her refrigerator. I think parents in general are famous for this.
I thought just
among
generally
children.
Famous, like
no,
you know.
My mother is
famous. She has 2 million Instagram followers.
She does.
And she's always like, you know.
She's like one of those Mormon mom blogs.
I didn't know that was a thing, but I guess I'm not surprised.
You didn't know that was a thing? Oh my God.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. I can visualize what it must be like now that you said it.
These women are running like minor empires populated by 7 children and 2 million Instagram followers.
Okay.
Anyway, no. So my mother is famous in my tiny little world for letting food go bad in her refrigerator.
Sure.
And once we were visiting and she had a whole bunch of shallots for some reason in her fridge, which I never keep.
No, I don't keep them in the fridge
either.
Garlic
in the fridge. Anyway, Brandon wisely pulled them out, peeled them, and then put them in a baking dish, covered them with like equal parts olive oil and sherry vinegar.
And this was after they'd gone bad.
No, they were just starting to like get a little soft.
Oh, okay.
You know, but they were still usable. Anyway, put a little bit of olive oil and sherry vinegar on them, covered the pan.
Brandon made something with vinegar? I'm shocked.
Covered the pan really tightly with aluminum foil and baked it for like an hour and a half.
Nice.
Stirring occasionally, and they get like really sticky with the sugars from the shallot and the sugars from the vinegar.
With the sugars from the shallot and the sugars from the vinegar.
Glazed, and they're really delicious and would be a delicious side dish for any delicious meal. Literally.
With the sugars from the shallot and the sugars from the vinegar. So is that similar to what you made today?
That's exactly
Did you already
what I
talk
made.
About the thing you made and I wasn't paying attention?
Yeah, that's what I was just talking
about. Oh, I see.
Jeez.
But you didn't make the connection.
Sorry. Like, okay, anyway.
You said this was a thing you made once, but you didn't like gesture toward the plate and say, you know,
so, like,
It's
this thing. So should you happen to come into a whole bunch of shallots for about a pound, you're going to want like a tablespoon of olive oil and a tablespoon of vinegar per pound. Toss it. Roast it for an hour and a half, tightly covered, stirring occasionally. So delicious.
Preferably sherry vinegar, you would say?
I think sherry vinegar is best.
I love sherry
vinegar.
But
you can do whatever you want. I think they'd be great on a cheeseburger.
Yes.
On a cheeseburger, with pretty much anything.
I have not really explored the idea of shallots on a burger. Like, I will often, grilled onions is my favorite thing on a burger, but it seems like...
I feel like a shallot. How could that, you know...
Well, it's not going to be
anything
bad.
Anything but great.
Unless it was raw.
Unless it was raw. Also, I think we first ate these with like steak or something, and that's kind of nice too because the shallots get so silky, but they've still got a really strong, complex flavor.
I love how when I put my fork into it, like the layers kind of slide apart.
Mm-hmm,
it's very sexy.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
How else do we use them? There's so many other ways to use shallots.
So I don't know very much about Indian cooking, but I know that both onions and shallots are used in great quantities in Indian food, kind of interchangeably, sort of in the same way that lemons and limes are kind of the same thing in Mexican food.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that.
What?
I think a whole bunch of Mexican food experts are going to write in to us and tell us how stupid we are.
Okay, let's see. You know how I usually say don't correct us on that? No, I want to hear.
People, you tell us, in Mexican food, are lemons and limes basically interchangeable? Go.
Yeah. And so back to making gross generalizations about Indian food. You know, there are Indian curry recipes where the thickener for the curry base is basically like an enormous quantity of brown shallots or onions that are then pureed, which is great.
That's really cool.
Yes. There's like that Persian condiment where shallots are like grated into yogurt, which I feel like is a maybe for me an exception to the no raw shallots rule.
Seems like maybe they would be mellowed out a little bit by the acid in the yogurt. Am I just talking out of
your shallot?
Yeah. out of my echalot.
Echalot. Having spent time in France, I feel like I've heard talk of like the legendary French gray shallots and how like these are like the best shallots, but I don't really know.
I don't really know anything.
All right, great.
Great. Maybe some of our listeners will write in and tell us about those.
How many things do we want people to weigh in on?
So many. Everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Okay.
Okay. So is there anything else we need to say?
I think there isn't.
Great. Okay. Well, we will put the recipe for Matthew's braised duck with Brussels sprouts on the old website.
Maybe, with a little help from my friend Mark Bittman.
Maybe we can also put up a quick little set of instructions for frying shallots.
Oh, definitely.
And we'll put up the recipe for Brandon's vinegar roasted shallots.
We give so much.
We give and give and give.
And you can't have any.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
And you can find us at spilledmilkpodcast.com, a website that we're in the process of thinking about how to fix the things that are broken.
It's real janky.
But you know, is this a podcast or a website? It's both, and so we should probably fix the website.
Yeah.
You can leave us a review on iTunes. We say that every week, and it kind of glides by, but it's actually really helpful. Like, if you listen to the show and have listened to the show for a while and have not gone onto iTunes and left a brief review, which will take you a minute of your time. It actually helps us a lot in the iTunes ratings. That helps us pick up more listeners. I'm not sure what that does for you exactly, but it's very helpful
to
us.
It really helps us. Yeah. So thank you in advance.
You know, it just keeps things rolling around here, like in the movie Furious 7, where we're podcasting a quarter mile at a time. That should have been the closing joke.
No idea what you're talking about.
Molly, okay, we have to go now because I need to bring Molly up to speed on the last 7 Fast and Furious movies so she'll be ready for Fast 8 when it inevitably comes out next year.
Great. Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk.
Yo, Duke Cell.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
Everything is so noisy, by God.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Only on Netflix.